The opinions expressed on this program are solely those of its hosts, guests, or callers, and do not necessarily represent the opinions of WTBR-FM, its management, other producers, or sponsors.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is WTBR 89.7 FM, Pittsfield's community radio, and you're listening to Stuff, a show about tips, hints, hacks, a joke or two. Listen in every Thursday morning. Here we go.
Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you this morning?
I be okay. How you be?
I'm good. And I'm Lynn.
And Bob.
And
we
do a show, and it's called Stuff. And we're here every Thursday morning at 8:30 in the morning, WTBR 89.7 FM and
WSBR from Lee at 88.1.
Lee, Massachusetts. Welcome to WTBR 89.7 FM, but you have your own call letters, so that's really cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we are here to share all kinds of stuff with you. We have a disclaimer, maybe.
No, not really.
We're not. So what's our disclaimer just from memory?
Let's see. Our opinions of this program are those of our guests, callers, and hosts. Now, see, if I didn't have
That's
to
good.
Think about it, I could
I
do
know.
It. And do not necessarily represent WTBR-FM or WSBR-FM, its management, its producers, or sponsors.
Wow. Wow.
After you say it long
enough. I know. You memorize it, for sure. Yes.
Speaking of that, that's going to be part of my show today.
Memorization?
Mm.
Oh, good.
Memory, yes.
Memory.
Mm-hmm.
I love that. So I just want to put it out there that we had a show, and hopefully it was the last one you heard, and we were talking about
Atricobazar. I'd say that wrong every time when I don't. I said it right when I read it. Didn't I, memory? Atricobazar. It's a human hairball.
Yeah. So Bev had done a true or false. The true was that a woman or a person, a human, right, had a 10-pound hairball removed surgically.
Where was it in her?
Well, let me share with you.
Okay.
Doctors say this hairball was removed from a woman's stomach and weighed 10 pounds. This is from, just lost it. This is from CNN.
Okay.
It's from some kind of a medical journal. An 18-year-old woman, she had been seeing some gastrointestinal specialist. She complained of a 5-month history of pain and swelling in her abdomen, vomiting, and she lost 40 pounds.
Wow.
They scanned her abdomen and they saw a large mass. They lowered and they did it. They did an endoscopy down there, down the esophagus.
Okay.
It revealed a large bezoar, B-E-Z-O-A-R, occluding nearly the entire stomach. A bezoar is a ball of swallowed foreign matter.
Okay.
On questioning, the patient stated that she had a habit of eating her own hair for many years, a condition called trichophagia is what you called it, right? Trichophagia, something like that. It seemed like she'd been doing this for several years. The woman underwent surgery to remove the mass of black curly hair, which weighed 10 pounds and measured 15 inches by 7 inches by 7 inches.
Oh, my.
5 days later, she was eating normally, and she was sent home. A year later, the pain and the vomiting were gone. The patient had regained the 20 pounds, and she has stopped eating her hair.
How did she stop?
Maybe she started eating biting her fingernails. So she's going to have a big fingernail ball.
I'm going to let my hair grow out and start eating it.
Oh, so it says here that she donated her hair to make a wig for needy people.
That way she couldn't reach it.
She didn't donate the hair. Can you imagine being a surgeon and going in and pulling out a lot of hair?
No.
Okay, we're done with this.
Yeah.
All right, we are done.
Did I do today's true or false yet?
You did not.
Oh, okay. It's the same as before, one true, one false.
Okay.
Number one.
Yeah.
It's a common misconception that the bridge is called London Bridge. This is actually called Stone Bridge. Number two, the third abundant element in the universe is oxygen.
What's the other name for the bridge?
The bridge is called London Bridge. This is actually called Stone Bridge.
Okay. Got it. True or false? One of them is true, one of them is false.
You got it.
How many are true? How many are false?
One.
Okay. So I have a quote for the day. Where did it go? And it's from Mr. Rogers.
Aww.
And if you have not seen the Mr. Rogers movie that came out a few years back with...
My show today is about memory.
Yeah. With that awesome actor. This is what Mr. Rogers said. He said, there are three ways to ultimate success. Do you have a guess?
Three ways to ultimate success. Persistence.
Okay.
Passion.
Okay.
And no fear of failure.
Okay. Those are good. The first one, he said, is to be kind.
Okay.
The second one, he said, is to be kind. The third one, he said, is to be kind.
Oh. Okay.
Gotta see the movie. I might watch that again. That was such a good movie, and he's such a good actor. You know, Castaway and Sleepless in Seattle. Who is it? Screaming it out. All of our listeners are just screaming it out, and they're...
He married the woman that played...
Yes.
Marvel. Boy, do we need help.
Yeah, we'll get it. It'll come to us. All right, on we go.
All right.
It'll come to us. I'll go through the alphabet in my head, and I'll stumble on it, and I'll get it.
Okay.
All right.
Memory tricks.
Oh, let me write these down because I won't remember.
Oh, I've got some good ones.
Okay.
Let's say you hear that Ottawa is the capital of Canada. If you're not using that information at all, you likely will forget about it after you finish reading the article or sometime later. What makes our brains so interesting, though, is that even long-held pieces of information can be forgotten if we don't run into it enough. For example, people moving to another country can forget or have difficulty speaking their own native language if they're not exposed to enough of it in the new country. So you've got to repeat. But not at one time.
No. How does that work?
It's like at breakfast, lunch, and dinner, you say whatever it is you're trying to remember. Partial amount.
Mm-hmm.
I'll have something more on that later.
And that is so true, because the more you do that a few times a day without pressuring yourself, it will finally just kind of fall into place.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm doing a memory thing with the women's group that I go to, and believe it or not, I have a tattoo now on my arm that's fake.
Oh, shoot.
And it has the first letter of each word in the Bible verse that I'm that we are memorizing for that week. And that the first letter of every single word. So you just look at that, and the first letter reminds you of what the whole verse is.
That's a nice thing. That's called a mnemonic.
A mnemonic?
Mnemonic.
Mnemonic.
Yes.
I didn't know that.
Which is my second thing.
Oh,
after,
awesome. Oh.
What have you got?
Good. I have, I forgot. So because I had leftover things, I'm going to still talk about saving money.
Okay.
Don't buy pre-sliced or individually packaged anything. Your pre-cut meat and cheese are likely costing you way more than if you just bought these foods whole and then cut them yourself. And really, individually packaged food is, in general, is usually more expensive than making something similar yourself. Even things like snack bars are not difficult to make.
Huh.
And the bulk ingredients will feel like a steal for the amount you can make with them. And it is true. Pre-packaged, pre-cut, pre-sliced, pre-stuffed
mushrooms. Is it more expensive?
It is more expensive. It is.
That's silly.
It's more expensive. And a lot of times when you see the pre-cut, like pre-cut melon, pre-cut squash, yellow squash, or not yellow, butternut squash, pre-cut, so you just have to throw it in the pan. Pre-cut anything like that, how many times does that get handled? Did they drop a piece of melon on the ground and then just put it back in the package? Wouldn't you rather buy the melon and just cut it yourself and drop it on your own floor? At least you know what dirt is there. I don't want something cut up because somebody was cutting it. Yeah, they wear gloves, but who knows?
Maybe it's because of packaging.
Or packaging. But it's the labor. Mm. What if somebody's got a cold and they're a little drippy?
Oh. Moving on. Mnemonics are memory tools that can help you learn or remember information more easily. One of the most common examples of a mnemonic, device is the acronym ROYGBIV, Roy Gbiv, which helps us remember the sequence of colors in a rainbow.
What are they again? ROYGBIV. V. So it's, can I guess? Red, orange, yellow, green, blue, indigo, violet.
Close enough.
What I miss?
I don't know, but the eye could be iris. It could be anything.
Oh, you don't have them there?
I don't have that there.
Oh.
But one of the most common examples is the ABCD song.
ABCD.
Which helps you learn the English alphabet.
Yes.
And there are other several types of mnemonics, and you can use, you may not remember even one page full of words from your favorite book, but you probably remember the lyrics to dozens of songs. That's because music can be an effective tool when it comes to learning and recall. And you can use rhymes and acronyms as well.
So true. I wish that we had learned things in school.
Like that.
Like that, mm-hmm. or believe it, in a song. How many songs do we recall? All we need to do is hear the first note or the first word, and it just pops. We just remember the whole thing.
So if you want to remember something that's maybe not too long,
yeah,
make it into a song.
Make it into a song. You just made a poem. Long song. You just did a poem. So I've told you before that I learned how to spell arithmetic by saying a rat in Tom's house might eat Tom's ice cream.
That would be harder to remember than arithmetic.
I know. Well, to spell it, a rat in Tom's house might eat Tom's ice cream. It's a little story and a little visual. You can see it.
Isn't the Great Lakes done the same way?
Is it? How?
Home. Lake Huron.
So it's home. So it's H.
Eerie.
So there's an H, there's an E, there's an M.
Maybe I'm wrong.
Oh, no, I think you're right. Huron, Erie, Michigan. What's the other one?
Oh.
How many are there?
Ontario?
I don't know.
I don't know. We're going to have to look this up.
Yes, we'll look this up during the break.
This is why we need memory tricks.
Yes, I love this. This is going to be really interesting, really cool. What did I have here? Oh, I had some information that about if you get hit with a late fee on your credit card. So this is from Reddit, okay. Reddit.com. And Reddit is where people write in and say things that they do in a certain category or subject. This woman said, worked at a call center for a credit card company. If you ever get hit with a late fee, she worked there.
Mm-hmm.
Politely call customer service and ask if there's a possibility of getting it waived. We didn't have to ask a supervisor or anything. We pushed it through. I've done this multiple times now for my own cards. Don't pay the late fees. But the key is you need to be polite.
Please.
Not argumentative.
Right.
And don't lie. Just say, hey, you know what Bev is doing right now? So we talked about the fact that she's the one facing the window to the lobby and how her eyes shift and I wonder what's happening. She's just shifting just for fun. She is. I can tell. She's going back and forth like a little robot. Her eyes are just going back and forth, like she's doing push-ups in her eyeballs, just back and forth, back and forth. More okay. Memory things. I like this.
Say it three times.
Yes.
Link it to an established long-term memory. What if you already have something in your long-term memory that you can link your new piece of information to? Imagine this. There's a piece of information that resides deep in your hypothetical long-term memory chamber. Once you claim a new memory, you stick it to the old one.
Oh, is there an example?
Nah, sorry.
What would an example be?
It would be something that you know for sure that would pop right into your head.
Okay.
And then you add this extra detail.
Okay. Like, I know for sure that I don't know where I parked my car.
Right.
Okay. What do I add to that?
What's your last name?
Arsenault.
Every time you think Arsenault, you're going to think about where you put your car.
Oh, that's crazy. Usually I think we talked about this, park my car at Market 32 and I look at the building and I see if there's fruit. I just think, okay, I parked under the grapes. I parked under the sign that says deli. I parked in that aisle.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it works, but it didn't work last week because I didn't do it. And I actually went down the wrong car aisle. And the problem with that is you can't, and I saw my car, but you have to go over the hump. You have to go all the way around again because there's a hump.
What store are you talking about?
Market 32.
Oh.
So there's a hump. Remember like when you got your car balanced on the hump?
No.
Yes, you did. You got your car stuck on a curb.
Oh, that one. It was a sidewalk.
It was a sidewalk. I love it.
It was a mini.
That was your little Mini Cooper.
Yeah.
Your tires weren't touching the ground, right?
Not forever. Not for long.
Did you ever take a picture of that? Did you take a picture?
Who did? I think Jen did. She was my savior.
That should have been sent to Reader's Digest or to the newspaper or something.
Why?
Oh, I think that is so adorable. I love it so much. I love that. How many years ago is that? That was a while back.
That was about 3 years, at least.
Mm.
Type away.
Type away?
Type away. Writing something down is a common memorizing trick that works for many. The problem, you almost never have a pen and paper close at hand when you need it. So here, I decided to go a bit unconventional and use technology. I started typing notes on my phone that I'd revisit before sleeping. And just the act of opening the phone and putting on the thing that you're trying to remember sticks it
in your head.
And when you look at your phone, you say, I've got this information right here.
Yes. And that's true. I actually have sent myself a text message or an email because I don't have a pen, and I'll try to remember something or a list of something. And it's funny because sometimes I don't even have to go look.
Once you just notice.
Because I remembered it, and I pictured myself typing it, and I could see it. And then I'll open the text, and I'll think, okay, I remembered this stuff. I didn't even need to look. Yeah, it's crazy.
That's why it's called a trick.
Yeah, love that. Love it. Okay, here it says, you can save money by buying unnecessary laundry junk, they're calling it.
Laundry junk?
Yep, this person is calling all of this laundry junk. Dryer sheets, fabric softener, she says, throw them out. You don't need either one. In fact, you might not even need that toxic goop you put in your washing machine either. Laundry detergent.
Oh.
Plenty of cheap and easy homemade laundry detergent recipes can be found online, as well as replacements for dryer sheets, such as reusable dryer balls, or better yet, skip the dryer as much as possible. Line drying works just fine. So this person probably lived back in 1850.
Yeah, yeah. And out in the boonies where she had trees all over the place.
And she had all kinds of time to do this cool stuff.
Get out there and flap the sheet and tie it up. Yeah.
But I remember hanging sheets and stuff. I loved hanging stuff on a clothesline.
It smelled so much better.
It did. I don't know about today. But
it depends on where you live.
And I went through a phase where I was making my own cleaning products. I bought a kit, and it had the bottles, and it had the little oil that you could put in, and it told you what to do, and white vinegar, and I did it. And I don't know why I stopped. I got lazy, I think. Because it really doesn't take
tired.
That much time. It's because we just want the convenience of chemicals. All right. Off we go.
Use storytelling. Look at all the forms of entertainment that we have nowadays, and you'll see storytelling in each one of them. Movies, songs, music videos, video games, vlogs. Our brain is obsessed with stories. So the next time you're trying to memorize something, try creating a story in your head that will help you remember it.
Have you done that?
I have.
It works.
It does.
Where did you learn how to do that?
It just kind of, I daydream a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So it just turns into something like that.
And then it helps you to remember a grocery list?
Maybe not something that's listed like that, but an event or something.
Uh-huh.
Like, I have an appointment, and I don't want to forget it. So you make a story about having to drive there or something.
Yes. Sesame Street. When my kids watch Sesame Street, I learned it from there to do something like picture yourself in your house, and you have this grocery list, and you picture yourself with a hat on, and it's made out of an egg, and you open the door. The door handle is an apple. The door is a big, huge slice of cheese, and you keep going. You walk outside. It's raining raisins. You get into your car, which is made out of a pumpkin, and you start driving down the road, and the road is a big, long piece of lasagna. So you picture that in your head, that story.
That's the stuff you're going to have to buy.
And that reminds you.
I like that. That's cute.
So I, as an adult, learned from Sesame Street. I also learned salida, entrada, agua. I learned Spanish from Sesame Street.
Sesame Street was a great thing.
I think I should start watching it again.
I was going to say, are they still airing it?
I don't know. You know, your kids get older. You don't know.
I think that'd be great.
Mm-hmm.
How about record your audio? When you're trying to memorize something, just audio record yourself on the phone and listen to it on repeat. You don't need to do this for long. In fact, about 15, 20 minutes of listening to yourself should be more than enough.
I don't want to listen to myself. No. That wouldn't work for me.
Or have someone else record it.
That's true. Have somebody else record it. These are really good. And these work.
Yes, they do.
That's the thing. You cannot say they don't work.
This is my favorite. I got to tell you this one. This is my favorite. What if I tell you to memorize this number in 20 seconds? Don't write it down.
You heard my pen click, didn't you?
583-957-304.
583-357-304.
That wasn't really 20 seconds, so you did a good job.
Did I?
But what it sounds like a daunting task, what about if I asked you to remember 583-957-304?
Like a phone number, kind of.
Yeah.
Breaks it up into little pieces.
Yeah. Create parts.
Parts, pieces, and parts. Yep. That's how I'm doing my memory thing with my tattoo on my arm. I'm just doing the first line, and then I'm going to add the second line. And the book that I'm using breaks it up, too. It's really, really helpful. Little pieces. And then once you have the little pieces, they belong together. 587, was that the first one? Was it 587?
583.
583. 304, 687.
304 is the last three numbers, so you've got the beginning and the end.
304, 587, 583. There's a 7 in there.
Yes.
There's a 7 there. There's a
957.
957.
You can sing that in your head, too, though.
You can.
583-957-304.
And you do, and like you did, you change the inflection and you change the note. It helps you have that stand out. Like on my arm, you'll see there's large letters and small letters. It's kind of like that. The large letter, it's really, this is so cool. I could do this all day. Okay. Disposable razors. Oh, my. This is how you save money. I guess you're not supposed to buy these. Let's see what it says. Disposable razors lose their sharpness pretty quickly, or they get clogged up with stuff. So you end up by buying them pretty frequently. However, there are non-disposable razors that don't cost a ton, and once you've purchased it, you only need to replace the blade itself, which you can usually buy in bulk online for super cheap but excellent quality. They are a little bit sharper than disposable razors because they're designed to last more than 5 days. But don't worry, these aren't the long single blades you use in the old timely barber shops like the, and in films on TV, they're the same shape and they're the same shape, you know, just minus the whole disposable part. Well, I know that there's a club. There's a club. And when it first came out, I thought, that's really stupid. But it's a club that sends you, mostly for guys, because they've got rough beards and they have to replace their blades more.
I would say so.
So every month or whatever, 3 months, whatever you sign up for, they send you new blades for the razor that you bought in the beginning. And it's just repetitive. And I thought that was dumb.
Oh.
But I think Mark still uses that. I think he got it as a gift.
I think that's good.
And he still uses it. And he knows if I don't have a razor that's sharp and I use one on my legs, one of his, and I rinse it all off and I clean it and I put it back in the cabinet, he'll know. Yeah, I remember one time I think he could tell that I used it. I don't know how, but this was a while back, yeah. How did you find out, honey? How do you know that?
Now, this is really funny. I've never heard of this one. Use a to-do list app. A lot of these apps come with the added functionality of displaying your notes on the home screen of your phone. A lot of others come with a sticky notification of that note that appears 24/7 on your phone. By typing what you want to memorize in that note, you can then read it again every time you use your phone. Now, I have no idea what apps these are, so you'll just have to look up to-do list apps.
to-do list apps, and it will show up on your phone, and then you probably can click on them to take them off as you do them. But it shows up on your home screen?
Yep.
Wow. That would be really helpful.
24/7. I do that with football games, actually, because they say, do you want to keep score? And I say yes, and I click on a certain button, and every time I open up my phone, that there's a score, whether it's changed or not, you know, that kind of thing.
Really?
Yeah.
Who knew? You did.
NFL.com, baby.
Oh, my gosh. I like the, you know what would be helpful to me, and you probably can do this, is if my calendar, my appointments for the day, showed up on my home screen.
Yes. Yes.
It would help me a lot.
Instead of looking for the book.
I'm really bad at checking my calendar on my phone every morning, and there are times when I have missed stuff because I don't remember and I don't check, and I'll think I have the whole day, and then I'll realize, no, I had no real estate appointments, but I had this appointment, and I have to make that phone call. Oh, my gosh. Either I'm going to be late because I just was neglectful, or I'm sorry, I'm so sorry I missed my appointment, I'm so sorry. I am so sorry.
Okay.
You know what it says about the razors? Oh, never mind. We talked about it already. Nothing new.
One of the things that you can do if, say, you meet somebody for the second or third time and you just can't remember the name.
Hello.
Ask. Mm-hmm. No matter what, there's no shame in asking someone to repeat a bit of information. If you're taking a lecture or something and you didn't quite get it, ask. Don't let it slip by.
What if you've known someone for 10 years you can't remember their name?
You say, hey, baby. Hey, sweetie.
Oh, my gosh. That's torture. I'm so bad at names. So what we do is I'll see the person. They'll say, hi, Helen. Hi, how was your vacation? Hey, what'd you have? You know, you were talking to me last week. And I'm staring at that person. And I'll say, oh, have you met my husband, Mark? Hopefully they haven't. And Mark will say, hey, I'm Mark. And you are? So that's a little trick that we use. But if they already know Mark, it's a lot of honey, buddy, hey, how's things? It can get really bad, though. I had a guy in the supermarket many years ago come up to me. He hugged me. He asked me all this stuff. He told me about this trip he went on. He asked me about my kids. And I'm staring at this person. This person obviously knows me. I got on a mission trip to New Orleans. He asked about that. This person knew me. And we, and I went through the whole, you know, sweating.
Yeah.
Gave him a hug, bye. Have a good time. Have a good life.
And
have
to this day, you still don't remember.
Nope.
Aww. Well, it's nice that he remembered you.
I'd rather have it be the other way around. Oh, my gosh.
Did you know that naps will improve your memory? You told me once that you don't take naps.
I just don't feel good when I wake up. I just feel like I could...
Because you slept too long.
So,
You need a cat nap.
Oh.
Like you sit in the chair and you close your eyes for about 5 minutes and that's...
But can you go right to sleep?
No.
So how long does it take you to fall asleep?
It depends. At night when I go to bed, I don't fall asleep immediately. But when I'm sitting in the chair reading a book...
So you'll start to read a book, which will relax you.
Yes.
And then you fall asleep. Do you set an alarm?
No.
How long do you sleep?
I don't know. It's there in the mind. It just goes, oh.
I'm done?
Sometimes I'll wake up without even realizing I had gone to sleep.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you're talking about a memory thing. Maybe it's in your list, how to remember that you fell asleep.
But it says try taking naps. He concluded from sleep experiments supported by NASA that naps help in boosting working memory.
I just have to figure out how to take a cat nap. I don't know how to do that.
A little short one. Click, click.
Maybe there's a class. Is it time for a break?
It is.
We will be back. We're taking a nap.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
WTBR. Impressive. Most impressive.
This is Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
So, we have true or false?
Oh, yes. Yeah. Yes, we do.
Yeah.
It's a common misconception that the bridge is called London Bridge. This is actually called the Stone Bridge. Number two, the third abundant element in the universe is oxygen. One is true and one is false.
Interesting. Interesting, interesting. So, Tom Hanks.
Yes?
He's the actor that we were trying to figure out who played
Mr.
Rogers. He's so good. And he is married to an actress who was in, was it Sleepless in Seattle? She played the wife of a friend of his. And that's his wife. They've been married a long, long time, and I don't recall her name. But if there's ever a movie with Tom Hanks in it, it's always good.
It's always good.
Always good. Always good. So I'm Lynn.
And Bev.
And this is the second half of our show, and it's called
Stuff.
And I just want to tell you, you can drain your meatballs on a baking dish. Just saying.
Drain your meatballs
on
a baking dish.
Rack. Sorry. You know the cooling rack that you have for cookies and things like that? I don't have one. I should get one because I always need one, but I don't have one. And it's easier to do because if you cool your cookies on a plate, plates are usually curved on the side and the cookies don't lay flat. They end up getting bent. If you have a cooling rack, you can lay the cookies flat and they stay flat. And you can drain your meatballs on this rack.
As long as they don't fall through the slots.
That's right. You don't want them. If they fall through the slots, kids.
They're not big enough.
We haven't done it. Yeah. There's something really wrong. I'm getting hungry.
I've been hungry since we got here. It's likely that you've used the technique of focusing on keywords before if you buy groceries. All you do is memorize keywords like six eggs, but never buy half a dozen eggs because the rest of the world is contribute nothing or very little to the message. So you get it down to just the very keywords you need. Sugar, not granulated.
Oh, I see. Just eggs.
Yep.
Sugar.
Yep. Whatever grocery you want to buy.
Peanut butter. No.
PB.
Lettuce.
We could do this all day.
This one's not working for me. Yeah. So, here you go. Oh, measure your ingredients when you're cooking on a digital scale. So,
does everybody have a digital scale?
Probably not. I only have one because I won it in a raffle. But I'll tell you, it's very cool. Some recipes will say how many ounces, dry ounces, whatever. And with the digital, especially when you're baking, baking's got to be pretty precise or it doesn't come out right.
Right.
So you weigh the container first and then you pour in the flour or the sugar or whatever and it's more accurate than if you do it in a measuring cup. So it says give your dishwasher a break by measuring your dishwasher. Oh, ever find yourself using every single measuring cup and spoon? Give your dishwasher a break by measuring ingredients directly into your mixing bowl using a digital scale. So it sounds like they put the stuff right on the scale without a little bowl. I always use a bowl.
Yeah.
But, okay, so that's a probably information nobody cares about.
Well, I'm not going to go that far. All you people out there who have digital wins. Yeah. One way to really help memory is to challenge yourself. Most people think that memorizing is all about reading and speaking, and that's partly why they aren't particularly good at it. Most of the time, we're trying to memorize something all day, but when the time comes, our memory fails to support us. A good way to eliminate that problem is to test yourself in the middle of the day.
Mm-hmm.
Challenge yourself in the middle of the day to recall what you're trying to learn. It doesn't necessarily need to be in a learning environment. In fact, you could try recalling while you're in the elevator, having lunch, or walking to your office.
I've had lunch in an elevator.
Which has nothing to do with what I just read. Did you really?
No. It'd be kind of fun, though. I did see a hidden camera show one time where the elevator opened and there was somebody in there at a table having lunch in the elevator. I love hidden camera shows.
But, what would you do?
But I think the key, one of the key things about memorizing is that we, at least I would in school, pressure myself where I didn't understand that if you do it like you're saying, consistently in the middle of the day, three times a day, it will, after days go by, you'll realize it's automatically happening.
True.
Without me thinking, oh my gosh, why don't I know this? It will just automatically kind of create that groove in your brain where it's just, you'll go, wow, I remembered that. Just because you did it every day, a little bit. What do I always say? How do you eat an elephant?
How do you email an elephant?
How do you eat an elephant?
Piece by piece.
One bite at a time.
Oh, okay.
One little bite every day. So it says here there are no bad food combinations. Food combinations. I don't know. I think there are.
I remember the first time I told you I like peanut butter and mayonnaise, and you went, oh.
And then I tried it, and I couldn't believe it.
It tastes good.
Yeah. Here it says, the late 40s and 50s were an experimental time in the kitchen. Advances in transporting food meant more exotic ingredients were now available. Such as Chiquita Bananas, a company that featured a recipe for ham banana rolls.
Oh.
You should see her face. In one of its advertisements, customers were advised to wrap slices of ham with mustard on them around bananas and top it off with the cheese sauce. Ooh.
Oh.
That's it.
Would you try that?
Let's see. Wrap slices of ham with mustard on them around a banana. I would take a bite. The cheese sauce threw me a lot.
Yeah, because why do you need a cheese sauce if you've got mustard?
Yeah, I think the if it was just cheese, ham, and bananas, but the mustard with the cheese sauce, yeah.
That doesn't sound appetizing.
Yeah. So that's very interesting. Yeah. All righty.
How about mustard and sugar?
Have you had that?
We used to make sandwiches out of it.
Mustard, sugar, and bread?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. We were poor.
Well, we had butter, sugar, and bread.
Butter, sugar, and bread.
Yep.
I haven't tried that.
That was good. Yeah, interesting.
Huh.
Yeah. And I would also get, when my mom made sauce, I'd just get a bowl of sauce and bread. It didn't even have to be Italian bread.
Oh, I like to dunk the,
Just
spaghetti
just
sauce,
dunk it.
Speaking of food, there are several foods that are great for memory, such as walnuts, green tea, blueberries, fish, whole grains, olive oil, etc., often referred to as the Mediterranean diet. Mm. Studies have demonstrated that consumption of green tea leads to enhanced activity in the brain's prefrontal cortex.
Wow.
Fish, walnuts, pumpkin seeds, oysters are all excellent sources of omega-3s, which lowers the risk of dementia and Alzheimer's by as much as 47%.
That's huge.
That is huge.
Wow.
So, Mediterranean diet food.
You know, there's got to be some real truth around the Mediterranean diet, because when I was in Italy, I went from coast to coast, sideways. Oh, not sideways. You know, north, west to east and west, east to west, sideways, not up and down. You know, we were, just so you know, the area that we were in, Naples, and we went across to the east, and then we went back. So it's that part of Italy. People weren't heavy. So you wonder, the Mediterranean diet, is that just really good for you, where you eat and eat? And I mean, they don't eat, believe it or not, where I was, they didn't eat a lot of bread. And the one bread that I had was really heavy bread.
I love bread.
Me too. But, and they, of course, they drink a lot of coffee, and they smoke.
Ah, the smoking will do it.
I shouldn't say they, I should say what I experienced. And you know, pastries and things, but I don't know if it's the fact that it's the heavy meal at lunchtime and the snacky thing, you know, little things at night, or if it's the Mediterranean diet. Of course, there's lots of olive oil, there's lots of olives, there's tomatoes, sauce, not fresh. It's interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting. Anyway.
Exercising leads to memory improvement. It increases the blood flow and the oxygen flow and everything. So get out there and walk or run or trot or whatever you want to do.
Yeah. Why don't we do it? Why don't we?
I do.
You do?
I do. I have, well, I don't do it outside all the time in bad weather or whatever. I have a track in my living room that I've made because I walk 500 steps every time I get, okay, what am I going to do? I get nervous or whatever. I'll do the 500 steps.
Really?
In the living room.
How long does that take?
10, 15 minutes.
Very good. Good for you.
Yeah.
I do recall when I used to go to the gym all the time, and it was the point where I would sometimes go to the gym twice a day because I was into it a long time ago.
Yeah.
I did feel sharper in my memory, in my everything. My mind just felt awake.
Clearer.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, you're good. When in doubt, add fruit. This is more food stuff. 1949 is the year.
Add fruit?
Well, I'm going to tell you. When in doubt, add fruit. A low-budget dinner recipe from Ben Urban Butler, whoever he is, included corned beef hash with halved apricots or pineapple on top. Because adding fruit on top is always a good idea, right? This is kind of a sarcastic stuff.
I'm hoping. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, and even the thing about the bananas and the mustard and the cheese sauce. I think these are like, really?
Come on, guys.
Apricots or pineapple. I know you wouldn't eat corned beef hash, but if you were to eat corned beef hash, which would you put on top if you had to choose, an apricot or a pineapple?
Probably an apricot.
Yeah?
Because it wouldn't be quite so
tangy.
Tangy, yeah, that's a good word for it.
Yeah. I don't know, Ben Urban Butler. 1949, if you're out there.
Ben Urban Butler.
Ben
wears a bib.
Urban Butler wears a bib. I didn't get it. Ben Urban Butler wears a bib.
When you eat.
You wear a bib. I don't.
Okay.
Does he?
That's not going there.
Do you know him?
No, I don't.
Does it have something to do about the drippy pineapple? Ben Urban Butler wears a bib. Is that supposed to be a memorization thing?
Is it? No. But it helped you remember his name.
Yes, Ben Urban Butler Wears a Bib.
It's a mnemonic.
Yes. Yes. We're going to remember this, you know. Ben Urban Butler Wears a Bib.
And we want to forget it.
Uncle Ben Urban Butler Wears a Bib.
Ooh.
Oh, we are on a roll.
Talk about having two memories together.
Yeah.
There's something called interleaved practice. Now, this may be a little complicated. If you mix it up, you'll see better results in memorization. Most people, when they're trying to memorize or learn something, keep working at it until it's all done or perfect. It doesn't make much sense if you leave a memorization task in the middle, right? Wrong. Research shows that if you learn two different things at once, you'll learn them better. This is called interleaved practice. Two reasons why this practice shows results. Similar memories get mixed up in the brain, and it makes it harder to recall a memory. And the harder the practice session, the better your results.
Wow.
Now, did that make sense to you?
It kind of did. It's saying memorize two different things at the same time?
Yep. Kind of like if you're making a cup of coffee and yet you're making a cup of coffee and then putting together a dish for your cat at the same time, you'd remember that they would, maybe not.
I don't know. I don't know. We'd have to have a really good example.
Similar memories get mixed up in the brain.
So that doesn't sound good.
No.
They get mixed up, but it says that that's not true.
Right. It says if. All right.
Yeah.
I'm going to do more research on that one.
All right. We'll go back to that. In 1950. I don't know where I got all this stuff. Oh, no. I don't know where I got this. But in 1950, it says, don't. Oh. This is weirdest cooking advice from the past 100 years. Some of it we do not recommend. And I don't have the website, but that's
title
of what I have here. So here's another recommendation. Don't slam the oven door. According to old age baking advice, slamming the oven door mid-bake will cause a cake to fall because it interrupts the rising process. Cooks Illustrated, the magazine, put this to the test and found that it was false. If you open or slam the oven door, your cake will not fall. I think it's the puffy one, the one with the air in it, the souffle.
Souffle, yeah.
I think a souffle will fall.
Huh.
But maybe they're just talking about a cake.
Regular cake.
Because all it says is cake. C-A-K-E, cake.
Okay, Duke. My friend set me up on a blind date, and he said, I better warn you, she's expecting a baby. I felt like such an idiot sitting in the bar wearing nothing but a diaper.
No, wait, no. If you guys didn't get it, you have to think about it. You need to repeat that.
My friend set me up on a blind date, and he said, I'd better warn you, she's expecting a baby. I felt like such an idiot sitting in the bar wearing nothing but a diaper. It took me a minute when I first read.
Yeah. It took me a couple seconds, and then it kicked right in. So this weird piece of advice in the past 100 years, this is from 1950, and in 1950, somebody suggested that you soak your meat in vinegar.
Ooh.
If you're craving a juicy, tender steak, back in the day, people thought it was okay, and it was good. It was soaking your meat in a bowl of vinegar before cooking it. This is one trick some people still use today, by the way.
Did you do that?
Steak, I've never done it. I don't think I would do it.
And vinegar?
I can't even imagine what that would taste like. I just can't.
Does it get lost in the when you cook it? I mean, like, does
I don't
it
know.
Filter into the airs?
I don't know. Does anybody out there ever soak your steak in vinegar before you cook it? I'd like to know.
You can
email us. We have an email address.
Stuffingforus@gmail.com.
All words, no numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, that's interesting.
We have enough youth. How about a fountain of smart?
Yeah, I think so. I went to the park where the Fountain of Youth was, and the trouble with going on a bus trip is that sometimes you pull into places and the driver says, or the tour guide says, and this is the blah, 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 blah park, and within the park is the original Fountain of Youth, and I'm saying to my husband, I want to get out of the bus. I want to go see the Fountain of Youth. And they say, and now on to our next stop.
Why even mention it?
I want to get out of the bus. Okay, cook with wine when the food is still cold. In the 1950s, it says when cooking sauce or soup, it's best to add the wine to the mix when it's still cold.
Maybe because of the heat will make it dissipate?
If you add it over heat, the steam will take off much of the added flavor. Oh.
That makes sense.
So wait. If you're cooking sauce or soup, you have to wait until it's cold and then add the wine? And then heat it up again? Yeah, it says mix it in.
Does it talk about reheating or just from the get-go?
Nope, it just says that. I bet a chef will know that.
The early bird might get the worm, but the second mouse gets the cheese. Okay.
That's because the first mouse is dead, right? Yeah. That's kind of creepy. The poor little guy, he's in the trap, he's dead. His eyes are wide open, his mouth is open, his tongue's hanging out. And another little mouse comes along, sees his little friend choking for air. And he eats the cheese.
I love that button.
So in the 1950s, when they were juicing a lemon.
All I could think of is this used. And it says, so lemon.
What? What? Oh, I've lost her. Wait, you need to share. I said use hot water to juice a lemon. What?
I thought you said goose.
It's been a long time since I've goosed a lemon. I don't even know if I've ever goosed a lemon. But if you want to juice a lemon, it says it's best to pour hot water over it before you squeeze it, because it'll help you get more juice out of it. Now, I've also heard you can put a lemon in the microwave for about, I don't know, maybe 15 seconds. I don't really even know because I've never done it.
Would you put holes in
it
first?
No. I think you just warm it up a tiny, tiny bit in the microwave, and that helps the juice release, and then you can just squeeze it. But I use one of those old-fashioned glass juicer things. You twist it on.
I use tongs. He squeezes it better. And it doesn't hurt my hands as much.
Well, do you have one of those, the ones that are cupped out and you put the lemon in and you push it?
I used to.
Do you eat a lot of lemons?
No.
Oh, okay. I was going to get you one of those things, but now I'm not.
Oh, gosh.
Okay.
Guess what?
It's time to go. Thank you for listening. Thank you.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts and not those of PCTV or WTBR.